about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you even listening to our story?
Yes.
Well, listen to this. We have a story to tell. So listen.
Okay.
And write it down.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ma'am, will you be okay with Congressman Ryan alone?
She'll be fine.
Actually, why don't you stay, Candy?
Jesus Christ, it's not like I'm gonna rape the president.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you just say you aren't going to rape the president?
Of course I'm not. Why would I say I would?
Why would you say you wouldn't?
Because I wouldn't.
I think maybe your people should come in too. Gentlemen?
What did he do, man?
Nothing. I didn't do anything.
Well, he threatened to not rape the president.
Yeah, that's not a threat. That's a promise.
And now.
Everywhere I turn, there's poop. Can't escape the poop. It's like everywhere I turn, poop. 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 Thank God I didn't wear designer today.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 7th of March.
What's up, fam?
Hi.
What's happening?
Again, and I know I said it yesterday, so great to have the whole group together again.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be like this every day from now on. I don't think there's going to be another day this year that we're not all clocked in and ready to work.
Look. Once you reach 80, yes, things start going wrong.
Yeah, it would be a bad bet.
Yeah. 80 is tough. 80 is when it all went
north of 80,
for me.
Man.
Woo. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's true. You can do anything. And then you hit 80.
Yep. Hey, a couple of things real quick here on this this Thursday. First of all, you know how we've talked about this a bunch of times. You can tell a social media message, a tweet, an Instagram, a Facebook post, that's not by the person. That's by their handlers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Anytime you see something that is smart and cohesive and on point and makes sense, you go, well, that's not the crazy celebrity who wrote that. That's clearly his publicist getting in there and trying to straighten out a mess and make him look better, right?
It depends on who the celebrity is. Some are well spoken.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And most others are. Clearly didn't write it.
Yeah, most are. But then, you know, like Kanye, for instance, you can tell a real Kanye tweet versus something that somebody made Kanye post. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's covered his tracks.
I would like to apologize usually starts the fake ones.
Yes, exactly. So having said that, I've known Kevin for 33 years. For 33 years, I've known Kevin.
Uh-oh.
How's this coming back on me? Who wrote your Instagram post last night?
Oh, I did.
Who? No, seriously. Who'd you hire? Did Linus write it, your assistant? Who wrote your Instagram post? It was beautiful.
What?
And it seems sincere.
It seems sincere.
And it was touching, and it was warm, and it was affectionate, and it was heartfelt, and I cried like a baby.
Oh.
Wow.
I cried like a baby. It's the nicest thing, not just you, but anybody's ever written about me. Who wrote it?
Here was my whole thing.
Hired a PR firm. Look, you already get credit for the post. I just need you to give credit to the person who wrote it.
Somebody else made that comment that it was well written and how could I have done it? And I said, I just don't speak good.
But I write good.
But I can write. So then I texted it to Bean just so he would see it, and I didn't hear anything from him. So I was like, oh, no. Like, do I need to change it or take it down? Did I do something wrong?
Way to go, Bean. Good Lord.
Kevin only texts me in the middle of the goddamn night.
I mean, that's true.
He forgets the time difference.
Oh, I get it. It's just I wrote it at 11:45 or something, at midnight.
Yeah, so what time did I get it? 1:45?
Yeah.
When did you expect me to wake up, read it, respond?
No, I just didn't know. I hadn't heard, and I was like, oh, I hope I didn't.
Listen, we're getting off track here. Who wrote it, Kevin?
Who wrote it? Allie, did you read it?
I did. It was lovely, and it was long.
I thought at
some point he'd be like, wait, gotta go get a soda, like something. But it was lovely, Kevin.
I also want to point out, everything spelled correctly.
Everything.
Every single
every word of it.
Yes.
And how long does it usually take you to write a tweet correctly?
I mean... 15 minutes and or three tries.
Right. How many times did you delete this post and re-upload?
I did not do that.
For edits?
For maybe the first time. Edited it for a long time. I wrote it and made sure it said what I wanted it to say, but then...
But not once it's post.
No.
Wow.
Gabe just retweeted it from the at Kevin and Bean account if you want to read it. And I'll tell you something else. And I don't want to get off onto another tangent about me leaving at the end of the year. But for folks who don't listen later in the show, only here early in the morning, maybe they didn't hear that announcement yesterday. But it was a beautiful, wonderful day with so many kind words from so many thousands of listeners yesterday and friends and colleagues. Kevin's message meant the most to me. Partly because he hasn't had much to say about me going. You know what I mean? He's been kind of playing it close to the vest. And
But I don't really feel like I had anything to say just because this was your thing and you were making it happen and I was happy and...
Beat it, kid.
Yeah.
That was Allie's message, just beat it, kid.
That was full text?
I just wanted to tell you, it meant a ton to me, and I really appreciate it. And I've been terrible about my Instagram that I reactivated last week and have put one thing up, but I'll post it from there as well. But thank you for that. I just wanted to say.
Get a room.
Right? Ew, I feel so dirty.
The other thing I want to say is, Bean, you trended.
Yeah, that was very weird.
You trended on Twitter.
That's while I was still alive, by the way.
Yeah, that's almost never a good thing.
Right?
Almost always, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, you think they died or a Me Too situation.
Yep. Somebody, I can't remember who, was watching Channel 5 yesterday. I can't remember who, because they called my wife, not me. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't see the story, but I saw Bean's face on TV. Is he okay?
Oh no.
Because they assumed I'd either been arrested or killed.
Yeah.
If I was on TV.
Well, there's still time.
All right, real quick. This certainly is. Real quick, having said all of that, I may have to refigure everything that I told you guys yesterday about.
Oh, great.
Okay.
I'm still going. But now I may not move to the UK and get into radio, which is what my goal was, because this morning in the Washington Post, there's an even better job for me.
You've wanted to be in radio since you were two.
I know, but this is something that is so much better suited to my lifestyle.
Okay.
From the Washington Post, imagine for the rest of your life you are assigned no tasks at work. You can watch movies, read books, work on creative projects, or just sleep. In fact, the only thing you have to do is clock in and out every day. Since the position is permanent, you'll never need to worry about getting another job again. Starting in, it's not till 2026, so I may need a bridge job before this one. One lucky or extremely bored worker's everyday reality will be this. Thanks to a government-funded conceptual art project in Gothenburg, Sweden, where I've been, by the way, lovely town. The employee in question will report to Korsvagen, a train station currently under construction in the city, and will receive a salary of about $3,000 a month in U.S. dollars, plus annual wage increases, vacation time off, and a pension for retirement. So what you do is, these are the job requirements. You show up at the train station every morning and you punch the time clock. That turns on an extra bank of fluorescent lights over the platform, letting travelers and commuters know that the otherwise functionless employee is on the job. Then at the end of the day, you return and clock out, and the lights go off.
In between,
you can do whatever you want except work at another paying job. You don't have to stay at the station all day.
Oh.
So you can do that. You can go home, get on the internet, watch TV.
Yep.
You're basically paid to turn on the lights.
Turn on a light turn off a light every day. That's right. The employment is guaranteed for life.
What? It's the Supreme Court of light changing. What's happening?
No specific qualifications are needed. Anyone in the world can apply. You don't even have to be a Swedish citizen to apply for this.
How does an electrician not get that job, set up timers, and never go?
Good question.
Good job, cheater.
Yeah, no kidding. So you're telling me that all they're asking you to do is flip a light switch twice a day, and you're trying to figure out a way to get out of that?
It's too much work. You got to figure out a workaround.
It doesn't seem like they're asking too much for a lifetime job with a salary and vacation and increases.
Just saying, make it easier.
It is an art project, by the way, between the Public Art Agency Sweden and the Swedish Transportation Administration. And as I said, it goes into effect. In 2026. It's some sort of a comment on mass automation and artificial intelligence, and that one day people will be superfluous. So it's an art project, but the government is behind it and is contributing to it.
Are they able to see him come in or her and clock in? Is that part of the art?
I think. I don't know the answer to that. I think, to Ali's point, though, I think all that has to happen is those lights have to go on at the right time and go off at the right time.
Right.
But I feel like this is stretching the word art really a lot.
Also, job. It's stretching job.
Same.
Also.
Yeah. Same.
Look, it's impossible to define art.
Sure.
There are so many things that don't seem like art to me that seem to be very meaningful to other people.
Kevin and Bean Show.
But this this could be my gig. So maybe a few years in radio.
Okay.
And then I'm off to Sweden 2026 with the greatest job ever. What do you guys think?
Deliver Postmates till then.
It really does sound perfect for you.
It does sound like me.
Yeah.
So have fun working, suckas.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I think it's ignorant. I think it's stupid. I think that it could have been a better way of going by it.
It's almost always true. Dr. Drew joins us on Thursdays.
Fantastic. We have many questions about strokes this week. I now have something else to worry about.
Maybe tone down the glee.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, there was way too much excitement about strokes.
No. The excitement is that we have a qualified professional on to discuss it so that we can avoid poor Luke Perry's fate. That's why I'm excited, because I'm nervous now that I'm doing something that may end up in a stroke for me.
Strokes, what's up?
Exactly.
I'm not positive that's how we want to do this. Who's the dick on today's show? This involves Omar.
Omar.
That's my thought.
Segment ended.
That's my thought as well. The first album you ever bought with your own money. Mm. Some of them are, now in retrospect, pretty embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it was. If you knew that you were going to have to account for it, 20 years from now, maybe you don't buy that particular album.
Look, Hootie and the Blowfish is forever. I mean, you can't judge.
Get Up on This, we do on Thursdays with Jensen. Things that are unexpectedly expensive. This is a weird topic, but about all of us have something where we go, how is it possible that it costs that much?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to everything else that's for sale.
Yeah, why is this so expensive? I ask that all the time.
And we'll go through some more R. Kelly highlights, because he crazy.
We were talking yesterday, Jensen, about how I can't believe they're not making that a one-hour primetime special, that Gayle King interview.
Correct, yeah.
Tomorrow night, one-hour primetime special, the R. Kelly interview.
Yeah.
Just throw the paper away.
Yeah, I'm just going to put it in the trash.
So. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with a different thing that Allie thought she was. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
And that means it's time for our first look at what's happening with Allie, who, God bless her, playing hurt today, but she's still here bringing us the news. What's going on, Allie?
It was a 1-2 punch yesterday between Bean's announcement, which people thought that he just, announced on the air that we didn't really know about.
Some people
were like, were you totally shocked?
Yeah.
we actually have talked about it. I don't know, 4 years. Everything's fine. But then later in the day, I woke up from a nap to a text from Jensen. Oh, my God, Trebek. And I'm like, oh, no.
No one loves
and
that show
I looked
more than
again,
you.
And I had 14 messages from friends. And I was like, what? So I went to Twitter, and that's when I saw the news that Alex Trebek revealed that he's suffering from stage 4 pancreatic cancer, but plans to fight the illness.
Hi, everyone. I have some news to share with all of you, and it's in keeping with my longtime policy of being open and transparent with our Jeopardy fan base. I also wanted to prevent you from reading or hearing some overblown or inaccurate reports regarding my health. So therefore, I wanted to be the one to pass along this information. Now, just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working. And with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told, I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me, keep the faith, and we'll win. We'll get it done. Thank you.
Oh, God bless him.
Canadian hero, yeah.
Beautifully said.
Just the most charming and lovely announcement that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
That's real bad, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask. I'm dumb on that. Stage four seems terrible.
No, it's a pancreatic and stage four is like a death sentence.
Oh, yeah, man. It's not great at all. Yeah, I think pancreatic cancer, and I could be very wrong, but I think it's always fatal. It's just a matter of how long you have. If you have a couple years, whatever.
He mentioned low survival rate.
Yeah.
So maybe there is
maybe
a certain chance.
Maybe.
Yeah, depending on how far. I don't know.
Here's the thing.
That sucks.
He was recording shows yesterday. Two shows. Just staying busy doing that. He had told his staff a couple days ago, and just unbelievable, that man. Unbelievable.
I can tell you this. According to the American Cancer Association, for all stages of pancreatic cancer combined, so stage four, obviously, on the low end, the one-year relative survival rate is 20%, 5 years, 7%.
Wow, that's rough.
Yeah.
This may not be the point, but was anyone disappointed he did not tell us the news in the form of a question?
I hate you so much.
What is pancreatic cancer?
Yes, exactly. That's what I was pulling for.
No, absolutely not. But what I don't
is,
know
who's my replacement?
I don't know if you know his health history.
No.
He's had two heart attacks.
Oh, yeah,
none of us know as much about him as
you do. Well, he had two heart attacks. He also, I think he tore ligaments or something in his ankle at one point. So he was out for a little bit of time. He tore his ankle by chasing a robber in a hotel room, by the way.
Yeah, and that story ended up being normal.
Yeah, just...
It was like... That was so clearly a story in any other case would have been a prostitute, because it was the middle of the night in a hotel with an attractive woman who robbed him, and he chased her down and got it. It was real. She was really going room to room robbing people. I was like, only Alex Trebek could take a story that is clearly most likely about a prostitute and make it real.
Yeah, yeah. Achilles tendon, by the way. So two heart attacks, Achilles tendon, then he had a hematoma. And then later that year, this was just last year.
Did you hack into his medical records?
This is all public, because he took some time off last year because he wound up like feeling a little faint and wound up having brain surgery. So, I mean, this man has been through more than any of us could ever imagine, but he's still going to keep working. And God, I hope just fight it. He's my favorite.
Like he's got the right mental attitude, too. And based on the things he's already survived, it seems like he's Superman.
Yeah.
I said to a friend of mine, I'm like, wow, the people then throughout the day, the people would send messages to me on email, on Twitter, on Instagram DMs. I said to my friend, I'm like, wow, people really know how much I love him. And my friend goes, you have framed pictures of him in your home.
You don't really, though.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a joke.
No, I've posted the pictures I have of him in my home.
Oh, she's got a shrine, Kevin.
I do.
I know from the webcam. She's got a shrine.
Oh, Bean.
Wow.
I love him so very much. I'll try and find some of the pictures so you can see him. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. every era. I've got mustache.
All right. Important.
All right.
Do you have a favorite, mustache or no mustache?
You know, I'm into current Gray Fox, you know? Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay, guys, it's the end of an era. Arrow will officially end after season 8. Stephen Amell announced on his Twitter yesterday that playing Oliver Queen has been the greatest professional experience of my life, but you can't be a vigilante forever.
No!
Arrow will return for a final run of 10 episodes this fall. There's so much to say. For now, I just want to say thank you.
Kevin, you still watching Arrow? I know you liked that show.
I love that show. Didn't miss an episode for maybe 4 seasons. Uh-huh. Still recorded all the time. Probably watch 3/4 of the episodes every year. Still love it.
And then Steven said, if only Kevin watched it less sporadically, we'd still be on, is weird.
We have a lot of people recording the show, but no one's watching it, so we can't make it.
Every viewer is only watching 3/4 of the shows. We need them to watch 4/4.
It's true. A lot of fractions on his.
Well, that's a good. That's a good run, though. 8 seasons.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
For Arrow, yes.
And
I don't like the way you say that.
No, it's just very judgy, Jen.
What I mean is, it's not Cheers, guys. It's like it's not Frasier. Like it did really well for a superhero show.
Why don't you back the F down?
I don't know if you ever saw Arrow.
Frasier.
I don't know if you ever saw Arrow, but it was a really good show, Jensen.
I'm sure it was great. What I'm saying is, number one, there's too much TV. We know this.
Yeah.
Beyond that, 8 seasons is quite a run for anyone, but for a superhero show, those things aren't necessarily heady.
But then that one season where they had Reverse Arrow come in,
sure,
that was a good one.
thought that was Reverse Flash.
Whatever.
It was Reverse Flash. But they cross over and did some stuff.
Right.
And Jensen, I'd like to remind you, doom and gloom Jensen Karp, Smallville was on for 10 seasons.
Again, congratulations to Smallville. I'm just saying.
It's no.
It's
kind of like your attitude.
It's no Frasier.
No one day at a time.
No Frasier Cheers. That's all I compare things to.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Wow, if it's not My Mother the Car, Jensen has no time for it.
It's no Too Close for Comfort.
It's not The Flying Nun, and that's where I have issues.
Good Lord. All right, guys, some birthdays, some great people today. Bryan Cranston, Peter Sarsgaard, Rachel Weisz, Wanda Sykes, Laura Prepon, and Jenna Fisher. And that's
they're from Canada.
What?
Hmm?
Who?
I think Rodney thinks all of them.
Okay. No, I don't think any of them.
You guys, R. Kelly back in jail.
Woohoo!
How about I saw Gayle King, who did the interview yesterday that that everybody was talking about on CBS This Morning. I saw her saying that he knew he had a court appearance yesterday, but he was in no way expecting to go back to jail. But it's this child support, right? That's what's doing it for him.
Yeah.
He cannot afford to pay the child support. On top of everything else he's got going on, he broke.
Which is only funny because one of his defenses is that he just wants to be with his kids. Yep. I just want to take care of my kids. Everyone's bothering me.
Right. And also, some of the girls, including his current girlfriends, by the way, who have been making the media rounds right now, they keep saying that their parents offered them up to R. Kelly so that they could get money out of R. Kelly. R. Kelly doesn't have any money. So this whole thing
That's a bad surprise for those parents.
Yeah.
For those horrible parents.
It really is. And by the way, aren't you getting the 1-2 feeling between the Michael Jackson doc and the R. Kelly interview and with the the people in his universe? There are a lot of people out there who shouldn't have had children.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Certainly shouldn't be raising them.
Yeah.
And if we think about it, and it's sad to even give him a little bit of leeway, which I'm not doing at all, they were most likely abused themselves.
You mean the parents?
Michael and R. Kelly.
And R. Kelly.
And R. Kelly has talked about being molested by someone in his family.
Yeah.
It's a horrible, horrible cycle.
It really is.
But this interview, I think, deserves a little closer look. We played a couple of highlights from it yesterday. We talked yesterday how there's no way they should have ever let this guy go on TV. He appears crazy, unless this is what he's building up to, is some sort of an insanity defense or something like that. But he should have had a lawyer sit him down and talk about behavior during a television interview if he's trying to rehabilitate his image.
Let me know when you want to stop. Here we go.
I am surprised that you agreed to do it. Why are you sitting down with us today?
I'm very tired of all of the lies. I've been hearing things and and seeing things on the blogs, and I'm just tired.
What are the lies that you're hearing that disturb you most?
Oh my God, all of them. That little girl's trapped in the basement.
By the way, she should have jumped in. You mean trapped in the closet?
Come on.
No.
Points.
No.
Points.
No.
Helicopters over my house, trying to rescue someone that doesn't need rescuing because they're not in my house. Handcuffing people, starving people. I have a harem, a cult. Mm-hmm. I don't even really know what a cult is, but I know I don't have one, Mm-hmm.
Have you done anything that you regret? Have you done anything wrong?
Lots of things wrong when it comes to women that I apologize, but I apologize in those relationships at the time I was in the relationships.
Have you broken any laws when it comes to women?
Absolutely not.
The six-part series interviewed 50 people, family members, your former tour manager, numerous women who all claim that you abused them. Yeah. Are you saying everybody in that documentary was not telling the truth about you? Everybody?
If you really look at that documentary, which I'm sure you have.
I have.
Everybody said something bad about me.
She asked if he has abused any women.
Yeah.
She should have said children.
Yeah, yeah.
These were children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, continue.
Hey, before you continue, it sounds like, am I reading this wrong? R. Kelly watched the documentary, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
For sure.
He's certainly not talking about suing anybody.
Nope.
He's not talking about libel. He's not talking about being defamed.
Yeah, he knows that they have to open up discovery if he winds up suing those people.
Someone that's usually at least what you do. If somebody accused me of being a cult leader and chaining women in the basement, I would sue them for libel.
That's more of a Kevin thing.
Yeah, you guys say I'm a cult leader. Can I sue? All right, let's continue.
Why would these women say the same thing about you, that you are controlling, that you are abusive, that you tell women when to eat, when to go to the bathroom, when they can sleep, where they can dress? Why would all these women tell these different stories about you if they were not true and they don't know each other? That defies logic to me.
Right. Until you hear the explanation. You can start a rumor on a guy like me or a celebrity just like that. All you have to do is push a button on your phone and say, so-and-so did this to me, R. Kelly did this to me. And if you get any traction from that, if you're able to write a book from that, if you're able to get a reality show, then any girl that I had a relationship in the past that it just didn't work out, she can come and say the same exact thing.
Are you blaming this on social media?
I'm talking about the power of social media.
This is a crazy defense because I heard this yesterday. These rumors have been around way before social media.
Decades.
It's not a new thing. People have been claiming things.
30 years.
Yeah, Leah and so many things that went down in his life.
That's what's
crazy.
So frustrating is he's been avoiding these charges for so incredibly long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Have you ever had sex with anyone under the age of 17?
No.
All right, I'd just like to point out what Jensen said yesterday, which is she said, have you ever had sex?
And he said no.
So he didn't know where that was going.
His defense is he's a virgin.
He married a 15-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah. With the parents' permission.
And then they had it annulled. No, not...
with.
That's a very blurred line, but no, the answer is no.
What did he do? Did he take her to Alabama or someplace where it's legal? And that's not a joke, by the way. There are states in this country where you can still get married at 13 or 14.
Yeah, it was in a place that supposedly you needed parent permission and supposedly it was forged.
Yeah, it was all forged.
Yeah.
Never.
No.
I have to tell you, it's so hard to believe that based on all that we've read.
I'm going
to
tell you something, Gail. There's one
situation.
I'm going to tell you something.
What women said about you.
What women said about me. What women. So nobody's allowed to be mad at me and be scorned and lie on me. Mm-hmm.
So they're lying on you. That's your explanation. They're lying on you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You feel that people have maligned your character.
I have been assassinated. I have been buried alive.
You have never held anybody against their will.
I don't need to. Why would I?
Well, I'm
how stupid would it never be held for anybody. R. Kelly?
I like where he starts referring to himself in the third person.
Yeah, that definitely shows you're innocent.
Let me tell you about R. Kelly.
And this is very close to where he starts tearing up and waving his arms around, and about 45 seconds before he stands up and looks like he's either going to hit Gail King or leave the room.
Yeah. With all I've been through in my way, way past, to hold somebody... let alone 4, 5, 6, 50, you said. How stupid would I be to do that?
By the way, that's not a defense either. People do incredibly stupid things.
Your Honor, I did not do this, and I'll tell you why. It's stupid.
It would have been stupid, Your Honor.
I would never do something stupid.
It just makes no sense.
I didn't say you
that's
were holding...
That's stupid, guys!
I didn't...
Is this camera on me?
Yes.
This is what Bean was talking about where he loses it.
That's stupid! Use your common sense. Don't... Forget the blogs. Forget how you feel about me. Hate me if you want to. Love me if you want. But just use your common sense. How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle.
Robert,
stop it. Y'all quit.
What? Seemed very specific.
It was odd, yeah. Why would I keep them? Why would I control them unless they need shoes from down the street from their uncle?
It's a very specific request.
That I didn't do because I've never heard of that.
They need some shoes down the street from their uncle. Robert, stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing. Robert. I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave you 30 years of my career!
Robert.
30 years of my career! Y'all trying to kill me! You're killing me, man! This is not about music! I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it!
Oh, I'm sorry, back in jail because of lack of child support.
No, he can't do it. He doesn't have the money.
Today.
Can I compliment in the highest possible journalistic terms... Gail King for this interview.
Destroyed. 100%. It was incredible.
Was so great. And by the way, her contract is up for renewal. She is being highly sought by every other network right now. CBS is just going to back a truck up. And this timing could not have been better for her. She does a great job on that morning show, that CBS morning show. But she slayed in this interview.
Robert.
And there's only 33 seconds left. And in it, she points out what he's trying to do.
Yeah. I just don't want to believe the truth. What I need help.
What kind of help?
This is the kind of help I need.
Yes, what kind of help?
I need somebody to help me not have a big heart. Because my heart is so big, people betray me, and I keep forgiving them.
You sound like you're playing the victim here.
That's my favorite part, because that's 100% what he's doing. Everyone's lying. Yeah. Everybody.
Mm-hmm. You sound like R. Kelly. You do. When I listen to you, it does sound like you're playing the victim
card. I'm just telling the truth. And the reason I'm emotional, Robert, and I apologize for that, is because this is the first time I was able to say speak. Something. Yeah. I've said nothing.
Robert.
His lawyer's like, say less.
I mean, it's Omar. The answer is it's Omar. No. That's the answer. No. Yeah, clearly the answer is Omar.
I'm glad Omar is here, Hot Omar, because we are going to do Who's the Dick. But because you're here, you made me think of something. Oh, you're the one who is in charge of listening to, cataloging, cutting up, and sending in the Kevin Amin Afroline phone calls.
That's right.
That's our voicemail we have here at the show, which is 323-520-AFRO. You can call anytime 24/7 and leave a topic on any subject. I guess you don't leave a topic as much as you leave a message.
But we know.
Tomorrow is International Women's Day. Now, generally, I don't care about the chicks, but tomorrow we're going to do...
That's the way to sell it, Dean. Good work.
Tomorrow we're going to do our annual tradition that I so look forward to because I feel like, and this is a sincere complaint, that K-Rock vastly underestimates how much fantastic music is being made by women and bands fronted by women. I think we should be playing a lot more of that because for whatever reason, it always gets the short shrift, and I don't know why.
Well, maybe if you stop playing Sex and Candy every morning, Bean.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Amen, Bean. I am with you. I don't choose the music.
Why do you pick it, Bean?
But I'm telling you, if I did, we'd be playing a lot more of the ladies. So here's what I'm going to say, because Omar's keeping an eye on the Afro line. Tomorrow on International Women's Day, again this year, we are going to play all music by female artists or bands led by female singers, okay? So call the Afro line at 323-520-AFRO anytime between now and then and leave us your request. Tell us your name, tell us what you want to hear, and we'll play as many of those as we can back tomorrow morning all day long here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Thanks.
All right, it's time for Omar's The Dick.
We don't know yet. It's Who's the Dick?
Sorry,
Who's
my bad.
Who's the Dick?
Something happened to me last week, and after it happened, it really, really bothered me, and it weighed on my shoulders on my drive into work. I am a loyal customer of the AMPM, and I go to the AMPM 5 days a week to get my coffee.
On the way in, yeah?
On the way in. Okay. Because it's 99 cents if you bring your own cup, okay, to fill it up. And you can't beat that deal.
Okay. And by the way, AMPM. Pretty good coffee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've actually, in the last couple of years, have stepped up their coffee game. Mm. And I go there so often that I know Phil and Sue, okay? That I strike up conversations with Phil and Sue. They're super nice to me. They ask me about my day. I ask them how it's going. We're very pleasant with each other.
Right.
So much so that one day they were remodeling the coffee station. I was bummed out I couldn't get my coffee, that I came back the following day and Sue made it right by giving me a free cup of coffee.
Wow.
Okay?
Doesn't sound like anyone's the dick.
And then, so what they have at AMPM is they give you this little card. So if you buy four coffees, the fourth one is free.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm a huge fan of that. That's
not
awesome.
The fifth?
Okay?
Not the fifth one?
The fifth one is free.
Okay.
Okay, so this one particular morning, I think it was last Thursday, I'm running a little late. It's about 4:45, and I have the four little stamps, so this coffee that I'm getting will be free.
Right.
Okay? I'm running late. There's about five people in front of me, which is unusually busy for this time of morning, okay? So what I've done in the past is I'll be like, Sue, here you go. Boom, just flip her the card. And she's like, all right, cool. Take it easy, Omar. No worries, okay? This morning I come in. There's no Phil. There's no Sue.
Oh, no, Omar. They're dead.
What happened?
Oh, no.
Okay. So
there's
because if they are, you're the dead.
No, absolutely, I would. Okay, but so there's this 18-year-old punk who, I'm trying to, you know, bypass the line. And I'm trying to just be like, hey, dude, here you go, man. I got my free coffee. And then I was going to be on my merry way. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, sir. You have to be on. Get back in line. I'm like, dude, it'll literally take you 1 second to take it, and I'll be on my way. He's like, sir, get back in line. And by the way, I forgot to mention that the reason I decided to do this at the exact moment I did it is because it was in the middle of a transaction. And they have a slow ATM machine there, or ATM card,
right,
that it'll take 10 seconds to read the card. So I knew that that was going to be happening. So I was like, I'll just slip in, give this guy.
You knew there was a little break of time for you.
Absolutely. Okay. Right. But the guy wouldn't budge. The guy was like, sir, get back in line. He was like trying to make it a thing. So at this point, I'm looking back to the line of people and I'm like, oh, really? You're going to make it this a thing? So I get the card and I'm like, sorry, dude, I got to go. And I flick it at him.
Oh, you're a dick.
Well, that's a little strong. I didn't really like that. But I mean, you know, I put it on there. I'm like, dude, I have to go.
Did you take the coffee?
Of course, because it was my free coffee.
So you took the coffee, gave him flipped the card at him.
I didn't flip it like that crazy, but
and then
I put
what
it
did
on
he
there.
Say after?
Oh, I didn't pay attention.
Because he was still helping.
I was out. $5,000. But in that situation, that guy turned it into more of a big deal than it would have been, because he knows. I mean, it's
but did he know?
He works there. He should know.
But
he should
know
more than I have.
He doesn't know you. He doesn't know your relationship with Phil and Jenny.
Yeah,
right?
It's Sue,
first of all.
My bad.
But there's already 4 stamps. He saw it clearly. It was going to be my free coffee. He could have just gone like, boom. I worked in customer service. The faster you could tend to customers at once, it's better for everybody.
Here's the thing. What if, let's call him Jeff. Jeff got the call middle of the night. Listen, Phil and Jenny can't come in.
Still Sue.
Okay. We need you in. And he's like, oh, God, I've never worked a morning rush. I'm just, okay. He's already freaking out about not being able to be up to par as Phil and Sue. So he's in there trying to do his best. And here's this dick that thinks that he is entitled to go to the front of the line and flicks the card at him.
I just placed it on. I mean, I flicked it.
But Omar, the way you're doing his voice, you make him sound like it was his first big boy job.
Flustered.
He's 17 and he's worried about getting fired and he wants to follow the rules. He doesn't have the authority to make those kind of judgments that Phil and Sue have as the people run the place.
Yeah, I think it's fear. It's
really?
I don't want to do something wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah.
So I read that wrong?
Yeah.
But I had to go, guys.
Because it wasn't Bill and Thelma Sue or whoever.
Listen, it's Phil and Sue.
Okay, whoever.
I understand why you felt the way you did, because you have a relationship with this place, but your person wasn't there. He didn't know you. It was just trying to do his job properly. I think you need to cut him some slack. I rule Omar is the dick.
God, really?
Omar is the dick.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
I am so excited. We have some new music to play for you. Coming up right after Allie's What's Happening.
Is it Sex and Candy?
Remix?
We already played it.
Oh.
This is a surprise to me. I usually kind of know when something's coming out by a band I love.
You always do.
I had no idea New Black Keys was dropping
today. I didn't either.
No idea whatsoever. The song is called Low High by The Black Keys, and we'll play it next. First, here's Allie on a Thursday morning. What's happening? Good morning.
Good morning. Listen, if you are a plane and you have Jason Momoa in you, you fly and you land and nothing goes wrong. Do we understand each other, planes that might be listening?
I mean, everything except for if you're a plane.
Okay.
I don't think that makes sense.
Don't kill Jason Momoa.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Precious cargo.
For sure. Yeah. Aquaman star Jason Momoa's private plane was forced to make an emergency landing when the pilot suspected an engine fire.
Oh, wow.
Womp. Turns out the fire was a false alarm, and they were delayed in Palm Springs for a short time. But they had to land, and Jason Momoa might have been scared. He might have. I'm very worried about him right now.
I don't think
he
Jason Momoa is ever scared.
Ever, right? Yeah. He's just like, anyone want a cocktail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, if the plane went down in the water, he can swim underwater.
So true.
Right?
So true. Yeah. Oh.
He said,
I pooped my pants.
He did not say that. There's no way Jason Momoa poops, first of all. Let's just make that very clear. Oh, good Lord. Everyone's safe. Everyone's fine. He got on actually another plane. Everything's okay, you guys.
Excellent.
So, phew.
Did you wake up in the middle of the night with like a feel like a disturbance in the force that something might have gone wrong with Jason Momoa?
If you know about my force, it's always
disturbed.
No one
can see you pointing
when I talk about.
It's radio. They can't see you pointing.
Yes, we understand that body part. Yes.
She's so sad and lonely.
I mean. All right. You guys, Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson seem to have a really fun relationship going right now. They're doing a lot of press together, including a brand new episode of James Corden's Carpool Karaoke, the series. The full episode can be seen Friday on Apple TV, but here's a sneak peek of Samuel L. Jackson and Brie Larson just driving around singing a little Ariana Grande.
Would you be honest with me if you didn't like my performance in the scene?
No. I would not be honest with you. Nope.
True. Do you actually like
it's New Black Keys, you guys?
Come on.
New Black Keys!
Come on. Am I the only one applauding? Let's go.
New Black Keys!
It's called Low High.
That sounded great, first of all. Mm-hmm. A new album has not yet been announced from the Black Keys. No tour dates are currently scheduled, but this was a surprise release. It's their first new song since how long? 2014.
Wow.
Is that crazy? Years. Almost 5 years for Black Keys. Again, as Kevin mentioned, it's called Low High. And I agree with this review, by the way. It sounds like kind of a classic Cream song, if you remember that great rock band from the 1960s. It's got that kind of fuzzy guitar and whatnot. I really, really like that. We'll play it again for you later this morning here on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
It's Thursday morning, and that means it's time for Get Up On This with Jesse.
Get up, get on up.
On this.
Get up.
There's too much TV. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tell you weekly. But what I do here on Get Up On This is I tell you things that you should be into. Things that I think aren't getting the attention they deserve, or things that you may have missed over the past few years. And television sometimes finds its way into this segment. And I am so excited to tell you about a Netflix show that I think should be rising above everything else, and I'm not sure has yet.
All right.
The show is called Dating Around.
Dating
Around. Anyone watched it here yet?
No.
I've seen it come up on my queue, but don't know anything about it.
Why would you watch it?
I didn't even click on it.
Exactly. Why would you watch it?
That's not a great title.
There's no need, because when you hear a title like that, you think about things like, you know, making out near a pool or like hometown dates or fantasy suite garbage that we've all gotten used to over the years with something like The Bachelor. But shockingly, this is nothing like that.
Really?
Some critics are even calling it the anti-Bachelor. You see, for Dating Around on Netflix, it's taking a more realistic approach with 6 episodes, each following a different New Yorker as they go on 5 different totally blind dates.
Oh.
Okay.
Now, we see them in almost real time.
Okay.
They're enduring the awkwardness, the clunky flirting, the awful jokes, and real chemistry when it does come out, but without any real glaring sexism or plane rides to go bungee jumping or, you know, like, are you going to have sex or not? None of that stuff really plays into it.
All the fabricated stuff
not
that makes
at all.
TV.
The dates are almost not produced at all.
Wow.
Like, by producers. Like, there's no real, like, go in there and be juicy, nothing like that. But ironically, the show is...
I'm sorry.
A lot of
go
people
in
say
there and be juicy?
You know, like,
he means play it up.
Like,
yeah,
play it up juicy.
I also prefer not the word juicy.
Ironically, though, everyone on the show is wearing a juicy sweatsuit. Head to
weird.
Toe.
Okay.
I thought it worked. Listen, but the show itself is overly produced in an incredible way. It looks like a movie. Every single shot is done by, like, an incredible director of photography, cinematographies. Everything is shot beautifully. Almost like, I know this is a bad analogy, but the way The Hills look different for reality TV on MTV. You were like, wow, that looks good. Like, Fellini made it.
Yeah.
Similar here. This is a perfect television show for the era of online dating. Like, you know, apps and swiping. This is a perfect representation of what people are going through, what I went through before I got married. This is a TV show for that kind of thing.
Depressing?
No, not at all.
At points,
it's more of a running documentary than it is a reality show. They follow 3 traditional heterosexual singles over the episodes and 2 homosexual daters, each going on the exact same date 5 different times in a night, also coincidentally wearing the same outfit. So you don't know if they tape them in the same night or the same.
Oh, wow.
You wouldn't know because they edit in between them so much. Mm-hmm. So the dates aren't all done in one. You see an episode and you see it all play out.
Okay.
Let's listen to a clip. This is from an episode called Sarah. She is a heterosexual dater who runs into a man who's sort of mansplaining.
Do you want my jalapenos?
Didn't you order the jalapenos?
No, I asked no jalapenos.
I got you.
Take the jalapenos. Take them.
You know what that means, right?
What does that mean?
No tip. Kidding. Kidding.
No, never in your adult life.
I know,
do you
I know,
ever,
I know.
In your
I
life,
know, know,
ever say that? That's not cool.
Sarah, relax.
All right. I'm going to give you a little piece of advice.
What's up?
And that is, don't ever tell a woman to relax.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, it's done very real. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like none of this, some of it is like look through your fingers at times, but it really is just a yeah. normal dating show. And
yeah, that does just, sound like fun.
Can I just say, Sarah, that's great advice.
Yes.
Men, listen to Sarah.
By the way, sometimes Sarah is shot in the show where you're like, is Sarah a movie star? She's very cool in it.
Allie, could you smile a little, please, when you say that?
How dare you.
This is all in hopes at the end that they pick one person to go on another date with, but you never see that date. You just see who they pick, and then it's over. Huh. It is perfect binge watching. You will
really?
Sit down to watch one and be like, well, I got to watch them all. You also see a 60-year-old widower. Oh. He goes on a few dates. It's very touching, very sweet. It's all real. You'll even question yourself many times, like, is this real? Because it looks so good. But I think in the new era of dating shows, this is what we should be doing. And it's very popular. They're saying that it's seeing a really great rise. It was released on Valentine's Day, but not many people knew. And I'm telling you, you're going to love the real aspect of this.
All right. I'll
dating,
check it out.
It's great. Dating around on Netflix, that is my get up on this.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up,
get on up on this.
Get up.
Yesterday we had Jensen's wife on the show. Today Jensen's mom is going to be joining us.
Yeah,
just after 8 a.m. Looking forward to that. And then at 9 we've got your tickets for Ohana Festival at Doheny State Beach, end of September. You can go to krock.com for all the details. But 9 o'clock you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about the first album that you bought. Our 72-year-old phone screener.
He is not 72.
Gave us his idea.
What did he think of that, Dave? You share workspace with Ruben. Why did he think this would be a good topic for today?
He's 70 at least, right?
He is not.
Okay, I'm just asking.
He pitched this idea, but when he pitched it, he said the first 8-track he ever did.
Well, Ruben pitched this because on Monday, Keith Flint, right?
Yes, from Prodigy,
passed away, and he mentioned that was the very first album, the Prodigy album, that he purchased with his own money.
With his own money. Interesting.
Yeah. And I think as we've been going around the room, and we're going to include your phone calls in on this at 1-800-520-1067, I think there is something special, like your first concert, that sticks with you. And many of us, it turns out, remember what the first album we bought was with our own money. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not talking about records your parents had in their collection or records that they bought. While you were, listening to them and whatnot. We're talking about the one that you finally got your $4 to go down to the store and buy something. Or however much it cost at the time you bought yours.
Mine was 19 cents.
Mine was about $4. So what did you buy with your... What was the first thing you bought with your own money musically? That's the question. 1-800-520-1067. Dave, you stepped in. We'll let you go first.
I was a wee little lad, and I purchased this album by a duo... Mm-hmm. That turned out to be pretty bad at the end, but Milli Vanilli.
Girl, you know it's true.
Milli Vanilli.
Oh,
what?
Love.
Do you guys remember that song? That song, that album was huge, and
sure.
They toured, and they were a-holes of the highest order.
Oh dear.
And then it came out that they were just lip syncing and it wasn't them and blah blah blah. It got the Grammy taken away. Everything happened. But it was really they set themselves up big.
I wouldn't be surprised, Dave, if many people your age bought that album because I mean it sold like 10 million copies. I mean it was one of the biggest records of the year.
I still listen to it, by the way.
No, but now you're weird.
Right.
No, ridiculous. Had you till that moment.
Don't be crazy.
Oh my God, so good, guys.
How much did it cost? Do you remember?
I think like $4. It was a cassette.
And it was a CD.
It was a cassette.
Oh, it was a cassette.
Yeah.
First album, yeah.
They've been trying to make that movie for a long time, too. It's, like, moved around, and I would like to see the movie.
I would, too. Yeah. Behind the scenes of all that.
We
that
had one of those guys, either Fab or Fred or whatever, or whatever his name was.
Rob.
It was Fab and Rob, I think. Yeah. We had the one that's still alive. We had him on the show and talked to him about that, and it was a fascinating interview, one of the many that's lost to the archives here on the Kevin and Bean Show, because we didn't keep track of stuff very well back then. But. How about you? How about you, Allie? What was the first one you bought with your own money?
I distinctly remember this because I had just turned 16, and I said to my parents, "I'm going to go to Tower Records. I'm going to buy a CD, and I just want to drive by myself for a while." And they're like, "All right, emo kid,
okay, crazy."
Weird. And I got in my car, went to Sunset, and picked up this album, "Core" by Stone Temple Pilots, and I drove all the way down Sunset to the beach, drove up the coast, wound up in Ojai, because I listened to the album like four separate times.
Lost for a week.
I was gone. They thought I was kidnapped. There was a ransom. It was me. But I loved this album. And to this day, it's still one of my all-time favorite albums. Where you go for tomorrow?
Where you go where the master found? All right,
I am 16 years old in my car with all the windows down, just like,
You felt like such a grown-up.
Oh,
that
it
day,
was total freedom.
Is anyone going to pick a band who doesn't have death in it?
Oh,
is
good point.
Is it possible that somebody's still alive? Let's go to line one on this topic, 1-800-520-1067. Let's see how Angela in Valencia is feeling about the first record she ever bought with her own money. Hey, Angela.
Hey.
Thank you for listening.
So
thank you for calling.
I have to say that they're not alive either, but it would be Michael Jackson off the wall at Big Ben.
Good week.
Glad we're doing this call. It
paid off.
Look, how old were you then?
I want to say like 10.
Oh, perfect demographic.
He would have bought you too.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm wrong there, but yeah.
By the way, every 10-year-old wanted Off the Wall. I mean, how could you not? It was a great, great album. You must have been so excited. And like Allie, you probably played it over and over and over again, right?
Oh, yeah. Listening, trying to figure out the lyrics, writing them down.
That's great. Thank you for the call, Angela. Appreciate it so much. Kevin, how about you?
Mine is this. I just want to play it for you, and you guys can identify it. He's a funky, wonky, bugle ball of
the Andrew Sisters.
Jazz hands, everybody.
What, about 1942, baby?
I have no memory.
Zero. Damn, son, where'd you find this?
I have zero memory. I thought about this for an hour yesterday, and I have no idea.
It's the first record you bought with your own money.
I know that's the topic, but I couldn't think of one.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I went straight Andrew Sisters.
Unreal.
Okay.
From the 1940s.
Give me some line three. Let's welcome Summer to the program. She is from Ontario, and she's got a choice she can be proud of. Hey, Summer.
Good morning, guys. Beastie Boys, License to Ill.
Nice.
My first album ever purchased with my own money.
Congratulations, Summer, on being very credible at a young age.
Thank you. I don't remember what it cost, but I remember having to walk to Music Plus, which should age me already, and and bought it myself. It was my most favorite.
That's
awesome.
Of course. Awesome.
Still is, yeah.
Still is. Summer, how old were you then? I mean, I'm not doing math. I'm just trying to figure out, was it a problem about parental advisory?
Yeah.
Like, did your parents
had to hate that album.
You know what? It's going to sound really bad, but my parents probably had no clue.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay, very cool.
And 43, so, you know, normal age.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, still all dead. We are four for four.
I mean, that's true. I forgot every one of these bands has a dead person in it.
All of my band
was.
Yeah,
I think all of them.
Summer, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to intentionally go out of order and find some people who are alive. And let's go to Lynn, line 7, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's in Long Beach. Lynn, what's the first record you ever bought with your own money?
Big Bamboo.
Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong.
That's right.
Sweet.
And it came with a big, giant rolling paper.
No, how old were you?
I was like 15.
Did anyone have parents? That's crazy.
Well, my mom made me take it back.
Oh, no.
Did you really take it back, though?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
I
come
bought
on.
I bought Alice Cooper Goes to Hell.
That's a great choice, too.
Good trade.
You are you were a problem child, man. Your parents had, you were wild.
It's hard
for people to imagine comedy albums being a thing that people bought, but they did. And Cheech and Chong had like five of them in a row that were all huge top 10 hits. So that's a great choice. All right, Lynn, thank you for the call. We're taking yours, too. 1-800-520-1067. The first album you ever bought with your own money will continue next on K-Rock.
All right, just had a Cage the Elephant. Let's take one phone call. Where are we going?
We are going to Whittier and saying hi to Joseph on line 5. It seems like everybody except Kevin remembers the thrill of buying that first piece of music with his own money. Kevin, not so much. Joseph, yes, though. Tell us your story.
Hello, Joseph.
Joseph. How are you going to be like that?
Nah, he's gone, son.
He's gone.
What
I liked
soul.
Corn. Corn, follow the leader.
Let's pick another one.
All right. Let's go to Long Beach and talk to Aaron. I'm sorry, line 7 up next on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, guys. The first album I purchased was Weird Al's Alapalooza.
Yeah! Don't play that song, that achy breaky song, the most annoying song I know.
You have Bean's respect.
Mm-hmm. You are the coolest kid ever. How old were you?
11.
You were 11 years old and you were into Weird Al.
Yeah, well, my parents, I was in a really Christian household, so I wanted to get, like, obviously Blood Sugar, Sex Magik, or the Get a Grip album, Aerosmith's Get a Grip album. Mm-hmm. They were, like, so offended by the earring and, like, the cow's udder. But so I liked Weird Al, and it had all those, like, Living in the Fridge, and, you know, all those other parody songs,
sure.
You know, Bedrock. So I just picked up the album and just fell in love with Weird Al. So it was a really cool album. I don't really know how much I paid for it, but me and my brother just played that
man.
Album over and over again.
You're my hero. I love you, and I want you to move to Europe with me. Thanks for calling, dude.
B6, we're talking about the very first album that you bought with your own money.
Nina from the 661, I was 10 years old. I bought Green Day's Dookie with my own allowance money on cassette. I was in fourth grade, and there was a center where you listened to books on tape. Well, my group sat back and listened to Dookie instead.
Nice.
I was sneaky AF even back then.
That's awesome.
From the 714, Juan writes in from Fullerton, my first album purchase was Vanilla Ice to the Extreme.
Oh, very cool.
You can respect that, right, Jensen?
Yeah, very cool purchase.
Vanilla Ice, you guys remember, he stabbed a guy, right, Kevin?
How?
Hit it, Steve.
Come on!
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife. Everybody's running. He's going to stab people. Because
he
stabbed
stab people.
Hold on a sec. What's
no.
Kevin talking about?
I don't know. Let's find out. Let's investigate more. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you
house?
Talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of stab anybody.
Screech.
You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I feel like we're way off target right now.
I mean, Juan was just reminding us, you know, I stabbed that guy.
Yeah.
Let's go to Riverside, line 1. This is going to be our man, Brett, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Brett.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
You know what we're talking about? What do you have to contribute?
Yeah, my first album was Kid Rock, Devil Without a God.
How old were you? How much did you pay, if you remember? Hello?
Quick story. I went on a vacation to meet with my grandparents, and the whole time I was playing this while I was visiting them in Montana.
I bet your grandparents loved it.
Did you buy the rumor that Josie was his son? For a while, everybody was so angry.
No way.
All right. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Jensen, I'm going to want to hear from you, but first we got to go to, do you know this Tarzana, Sarah, line 5? Do you guys know this music?
No. Sarah?
Let's be introduced to something that she bought when she was a little girl that I've never heard of. Sarah, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi, good morning.
So my family, they loved a lot of music, so I was always exposed to different genres and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorites was El General, which is Spanish reggae.
Oh, and, Tu Pum Pum.
One of my favorite songs was Pum Pum.
Why don't I know that song? That sounds good.
Oh, play it more, Sarah.
So you would have bought 11. That with your own money and probably listened to it a million times that year, right?
Oh, yeah, it was the best. My mom was, you know, and it actually is kind of not appropriate. it's, you know, if you know the style of reggae dance, it's very seductive.
Yep.
I think anytime he's singing Mommy, Mommy, it's probably not for 10-year-old Sarah.
And I don't think Pum Pum is like a real nursery rhyme. I think it probably means something else.
All right, Sarah, thank you for bringing that one to the table. We appreciate it. Jensen, you're up. What was the first record you ever bought with your own money?
Listen, I was very credible as a child. I would go into Music Plus or The Warehouse every Tuesday to get my fix of CDs. I bought so many.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my first tape being Run DMC, Raising Hell. I remember my first album, LP, being Third Base, the Cactus album. But I don't know how this happened, but the first CD I ever purchased was Forever Your Girl, Paula Abdul.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you just a big MC Scat fan?
Well, number one, it's MC Scat Cat. MC Scat is a completely different Google search.
Oh. Yeah. You know what? That was the movie I read. Sorry.
Yeah. But I guess, I don't know. I guess the way timing is, like, I just went, that was the one that came out that week, and I was like,
we
my own money.
We all had that CD. We all had it.
Allie was singing along.
It's a champ.
That was big. That was big. Allison writes in, first music I ever bought with my own money was Billy Joel's Glass Houses 8-track. Yes, I'm that old. We actually have an 8-track listener.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
That was the one with You May Be Right on it, if I remember correctly. Erica writes in, my first album was the Backstreet Boys, and they're all still alive, and I still love that album.
They're all still alive.
That's good. All alive.
Hey. Excellent. From Orange.
All right. Let's move on. Let's go to Troy Agora. Agora Hills, I assume. Line 4. He can brag, man. He's got nothing to apologize for.
Hey, Troy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. The first album you bought with your own money.
So, this album I bought, I was probably 12 years old, and I bought Guns N' Roses' Greatest Hits.
Ooh. All right.
Nice.
Seriously. Baller.
That's strong, yeah.
So much better than Paula Abdul.
Hey, man. I'm forever your girl.
Guns N' Roses' Greatest Hits is an album that could have been in your collection at age 12, and you could have kept it until today and have nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
Still have it to this day. Not getting rid of it anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Pretty strong. Thank you so much. Let's go to Douglas, line 6. Up next, Tustin here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He actually bought two at the same time. Let's see what they were.
Hey, Dustin. Oh, Douglas, sorry.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so the first album I ever bought was Razorblade Suitcase by Bush. And what's cool is at the time that I bought it, it was when you guys were doing one of your signing events way back in the day at Warehouse Records.
One
and I remember
CDs?
I bought your Christmas CD and Big Tad signed it for me.
And well, I'm glad his is the autograph you cherish.
Oh, yeah. Screw you guys.
Right? I'm a Douglas.
I can't argue with him either.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Kennedy in El Segundo. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi. First album you bought for us? With your own money.
The High School Musical 2 movie soundtrack.
Oh, man. I feel 60 years old.
Was I in line behind you at the time?
That's your first CD.
Yes, I remember I got all my Tooth Fairy money. It was dimes and nickels. I got the $10 and went to Target with my mom and bought it.
Now,
how many teeth
this,
did
Kennedy.
You lose? Whole mouth.
Let me ask you this, Kennedy. My crush for Zac Efron, is forever. Yeah. Troy from High School Musical. Did you ever grow out of it, or are you still down with Zac?
Oh no, my soccer number was 14 for so many years because he wore the 14 on his basketball jersey.
Fantastic.
I respect it.
Love connection. You
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 752.
Another reminder, tomorrow is International Women's Day, and we celebrate each year on the Kevin and Bean Show by playing all music from female artists or bands led by female singers. If you've got one you'd like to request, just drop a note for us on the Kevin and Bean Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. Just tell us who you are and what you want to hear, and we'll try to include it in the playlist for tomorrow morning. Speaking of ladies, hey, Allie, what's happening?
Bean, I need people to stop tweeting me. Allie, when are you going to do that ranch story? Listen, I'll get to it.
Driving people crazy.
It's your fault. Right? You did the tease.
I did. I teased your fault. I said, do you like ranch? And do you like Las Vegas? Well, here's why, you guys. Okay. Hidden Valley
Extra Ranch.
They're celebrating National Ranch Day on Sunday in a very special way. The brand is bringing a 24-foot-tall bottle of ranch dressing to the Las Vegas Strip and offering to use it to fill any container that fans bring to them.
They're Extra not, ranch!
They're not kidding. They said anything from a shot glass to a kiddie pool. You bring it, we'll fill it up with ranch. It's the Bring Your Own Container event happening for 1 hour only, you guys. So grab your pen and paper. 11 a.m. to noon on Sunday outside a New York Hotel and Casino on the Strip.
Unbelievable.
So
yummy.
Who's bringing a kiddie pool, filling it with ranch?
That is an odd choice.
Kind of into it. I want to see
who
shows
people.
Up.
So I was listening to the podcast with the weird phobias, and I just had to say that my phobia is ranch, like ranch dressing.
Oh,
like,
no.
It's not that I don't like it. Mm-hmm. It's that I'm literally afraid of it. Like, talking about it right now is making me want to cry. Like, if it gets anywhere near me, just the thought of it being near me literally makes me want to crawl in my bed and cry. Like,
go to Vegas.
I'm getting nervous just talking about it. But ranch dressing, like, it needs to stay the F away from me. The bottle, the dressing, everything about it. Like, I'm scared of it, and I don't like it, and yeah. That's my story.
How long are we going to let her go?
I wanted to hear like every second of it.
I know you did.
We need to bring her and have her get over it. Like, maybe just
help her, like,
yeah, put her in a kiddie pool and have it just
release
pour
the
it
ranch
all over her.
Yeah.
Ooh. Release the ranch. This got weird. You guys.
That was a better tease than story.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're welcome for that. So with Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, they're all pulling in more and more subscribers every single year. And not to mention, we soon have Disney Plus. We've got Apple. We've got CBS. We've got everyone that you can, you know, get a streaming service from. It should come as little surprise that cable TV has been taking a hit. But how big of a hit was not really known until now. According to the latest study, 2.9 million pay TV subscribers cut the cord in 2018.
What's going on?
That's nearly double subscriber losses since 2017.
Wow.
That's an insane number,
that
you
is.
Guys.
Beat it.
That's incredible. Satellite distributors DirecTV and Dish Network have reportedly taken the biggest hit with a collective 2.3 million fewer subscribers in 2018 compared to 1.5 million in 2017. That's
those services can be super expensive.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it makes people want to look for something else.
Yeah, and they talk about in this article about the skinny bundles. So if you have Sling and DirecTV Now,
my
that
nickname.
Skinny bundle. Yeah. Oh, no one needed to hear that.
Jensen skinny bundle card.
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
That's sad. That those aren't really offsetting the losses all that much. So that's not a good sign.
I'm a cable enthusiast. I think that, mm-hmm, you know, it helps with sports and we get to see live things.
I'm that way with satellite.
Yeah, and mm-hmm, I guess I'm starting to think about it, which is a bad sign, because I do think I'm going to buy CBS Access for, mm-hmm, Twilight Zone.
Uh-huh.
I've been reading about, obviously, things that Hulu's picking up. The, mm-hmm, the Amazon Wu-Tang show. Like, there's so many things that I'm just, like, excited for that I might just buy all them and do a, you know, skinny
cut
bundle.
The cord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can spend a lot less if you pay attention to what you have, you know?
But then,
I'm doing Sling TV, for example.
You have a Sling box?
Yeah.
Okay. But you also
it's
have
Sling TV.
Oh,
yeah, that's
okay.
Different.
So,
Sling
it's
box.
The app type of thing.
Yes.
Do you watch it through your Apple TV?
Through my television. It's smart TV. It's just like Netflix or anything else.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And that's cheaper?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? It's too confusing.
It is too confusing. Does anyone do Hulu Live TV?
I don't even know what that is.
I have Hulu, but I don't know what Hulu Live TV is.
That's another level of Hulu that you can get, where you watch live TV as well. Again, wow. Too much TV.
Too much TV.
Too and
much.
Too many different ways and places to watch it.
I'm just going
to
start watching that guy on YouTube who eats the military lunches that we like. That's the only show I'll watch now, and I'll cut everything else.
That'll be fun for you.
Yeah.
You guys remember that feel-good story that just...
About the ranch dressing?
Yes. Remember that? Remember the ranch times? No, the feel-good story about the homeless man that gave a woman who had run out of gas his last $20 for gasoline. And she was so touched that she created a GoFundMe account for him.
I do remember that.
They raised $400,000.
And everybody lived happily ever after. Nothing bad ever happened.
And
I
then we found out it was all a fabricated, heartwarming story to just tug on our heartstrings about compassion. And her and the homeless man set it up together.
Oh.
Bad situation. They pled guilty to federal conspiracy charges yesterday. Here's what they could wind up with. Caitlin McClure, the woman in the story, pled guilty to a count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. She faces up to 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine.
But how does that turn into wire fraud? Is there more to the story?
Because GoFundMe, people kept sending the money.
Sure.
And then she took the money out. And then he was like, hey, wait, why aren't you giving me part of my deal? And then he's the one that came forth and was like, these nice people that had the GoFundMe for me aren't giving me the money.
Wow,
which then
that's
led
an ugly
people
story.
To look into it, and they were like, ew, they're all involved.
Don't trust Whitey.
That's what I'm saying. So he faces up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine as well. So what I'm saying is don't give money to people.
I don't think that's...
No, that's not what I'm saying
at all. Okay.
At all. But just a little scary that I think one of us even did that as our great news story, because it was a lovely story. Just turned out to be a lie.
And I think he's a little shady.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my great news story last week was the guy who bought the Girl Scout cookies so the kids could get out of the cold, and he ended up getting busted for trafficking heroin and fentanyl.
Yeah, that was a fantastic choice.
You never know when somebody's going to milkshake duck you, man. You can't fall in love with these strangers.
Yeah.
By the way, drug dealers have a long storied history about helping children. You know what I mean? They do.
I mean,
I'm telling you, that's like a thing.
If he has a ton of dough and he sees them and he feels bad for them, of course. But then it does hurt you when you realize that he's selling drugs.
Still great news to me.
I mean, look. There was no harm done to the Girl Scouts.
No.
They sold out, made a ton of money for their troop.
It was still great news in the purchase of the cookies.
And Jensen got some fentanyl.
Yeah.
So everybody's happy.
Right. Exactly.
And trafficking goes on.
I mean, someone got some free Samoas, so everything's great.
Yeah, those Thin Mints are like crack.
They really are.
So they're all pushing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's concerning.
All peddling.
Some birthdays for you. Bryan Cranston, Jenna Fischer, Peter Sarsgaard, Laura Prepon. Rachel Weisz. Whatever. Wanda Sykes.
Less than 60 minutes away from your tickets to Ohana Fest. This is going to be a great lineup, you guys. It already is. End of September for Strokes, Eddie Vedder, Chili Peppers, Incubus, and so much more. All the details at KROQ.com, but you can win a ticket at 9 o'clock this morning, and then at noon, 3, and 6 p.m. from the world-famous KROQ.
Jensen was telling us yesterday about his mom.
Yeah.
And some of the things that she believed and taught him as a child.
Yes. As my mom is superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started dating Danielle, she got in bed and she was wearing socks. And I said to her, you're going to take those off, right? And she said, what are you talking about? I'm cold. And I said, well, you're going to wake up with a headache. And realized that I was raised with a superstition that if you fall asleep with your socks on, you'll wake up with a headache. But that's only one of like 6 or 7 different things that my mom forced into me with fear.
Can we talk your mom?
My mom
talk
is mom on the she's air? On the line.
Okay.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah, and so she has a couple to answer for, but I'm sure she even remembers more than I do. Yeah.
What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Haroldine. That is her.
That is dead sexy.
Full first name,
that
Haroldine.
Is dead sexy.
She's on the line already.
Okay,
Haroldine, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for letting us work with your son. He's a delight.
Oh, well, I'm his biggest fan, so you can't convince me. I love him.
That's great. This is so weird, Jensen, that by coincidence, we had your wife on the show yesterday and mom today.
And that's pretty much my whole family, so we're done now.
So socks, you go to bed, ma'am, with your socks on and you wake up with a headache. This is something you learned early and believed your whole life?
Well, I have to tell the truth. That was his dad.
Okay. So
all right.
That's much different then.
But let's ask with every one of these, does that person still believe that?
But my mom used to say, take off your socks. I mean, even if it was from my dad, you seem to believe in it.
Well, I just thought you get claustrophobic. See that?
Oh, that's much better. Claustrophobic. How about this one, Mom? Don't put a hat on a bed.
Yes, that was from my grandmother. Yes, do not put a hat on the bed. Do not put new shoes on the table.
Okay, hold on.
Wait, you're giving them all up.
How does do not put a hat on a bed work? Why?
I just asked her why, and she said it's just you're not supposed to. So I never really had an answer for some of these superstitions.
But if I would put a hat on a bed, she'd be like, take it off! She would, like, don't do that! Like, and I would
bad
have to...
things could happen.
Yes.
Oh.
Exactly what it is, Allie. It's bad luck.
Oh,
did you ever
right.
know of anyone or hear of anyone who attributed some bad luck, some misfortune to making that mistake?
Well, I don't know. If something bad happened to them, they wouldn't be here to tell us.
Oh, she thinks
because
the hat would have killed him.
Wow. She thinks they die.
That's pretty extreme.
You know what they say, hat on the bed, off with your head.
They didn't just have a bad hair day. She's like, no, they're dead. No, they ceased to exist.
They were decapitated later that day. How about this one?
I now wish I would have gotten this information, I don't know, much earlier in my life.
Yeah. How about this one, Mom? How about shoes on the table?
Shoes on the table, same thing applies. It's basically bad luck.
Now, that makes sense because your shoes are dirty, but this counts even if new shoes are in a box. Like,
that's
correct. Don't put a box of shoes on your table.
I assume...
No shoe whatsoever.
Okay, and I assumed that you never found out why it was bad luck like the other one?
No, there's a couple that I know why, but those were kind of the things that I just assumed they knew what they were talking about. I just went ahead and did it.
Mom, the one that I thought about earlier today that when I was driving here was you used to say something about don't see the toilet from the front door?
What?
Or something, money goes down the toilet?
Well, that's feng shui.
Yes. Well, that's feng shui. That you close the toilet lid. Always close the lid of your toilets.
Because?
Because money will go down the drain. That's really a feng shui.
It's not right.
Okay, hold on. But do you still believe that?
You don't come into my house and find any of my toilet seats up.
All right.
There you go.
Okay. That's a good enough answer.
And I've been very successful in real estate. So there you go.
I'd like to say that it's more because you were talented in real estate than you kept your toilet seat down.
I just think that's good manners to have the toilet seat down.
Yes, I agree. But don't put a thing on it where you're going to be broke if you don't do it. Like, I agree that it's like be you know, nice to your friends and neighbors. Mom, what were the other ones you remembered?
Well, there was one that I couldn't stick with when I got to my 30s. I couldn't stick with it, and it was when you had a knife in your hand, and if you hand it to someone else, you can't hand it hand to hand. You had to put it down on a table and let them pick it up. And that was, I don't know what the heck
that was about.
It was another superstition.
Growing up, she used to do that to me with scissors.
Why?
I guess I could see how if you trip and fall and
is there a chance for danger? Is that the?
Well, I mean, she's doing it just because of luck.
I think no, I don't know. I think it had. With my grandmother, it was that way. But it was so inconvenient to be in the kitchen and hand someone a knife, and then you had to say, "Oh, don't hand it to him. Put it on the table. Pick it up there." And people would look at you like, "What?"
Also,
should have looked at you like what?
It also makes murders much harder, which is difficult. Wait, so Mom, do you believe these things? These are all still very true to you, as far as like hat on the bed.
The knife I got rid of, but the sneeze when you make a statement and anyone sneezes. Then they have told the truth.
Right, whoa.
I forgot that one.
So wait, so if I say something and somebody else sneezes,
sorry,
then I'm telling the truth?
Yes, it's like if I said, well, you know, Jensen, whatever, Jensen, I love him. He's been very successful. That's true.
Really?
So do you
pause for a second and then see if anyone sneezes and then just discount it?
Is it a lie detector?
No, it just happens.
It just happens.
If it just happens, then you just comment, oh, that must be true.
Mom, what about how do you get rid of hiccups?
Okay, you sniff your left palm 3 times without taking a breath.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Okay, you have to take your left palm, and you take deep breaths without breathing out, and you take it three times, breathe in through your nose on the left palm.
Because you'll be so embarrassed doing it in public that you'll hide, and then no one will see your hiccups until they go away.
You got a problem, lady.
Why would it be your left palm, do you think?
My grandfather, rest his soul, told me it has to be your left palm. And do you know the funniest thing is probably 8 out of 10 times it works.
I can't believe it.
I don't think
it just has to do with holding your breath, to tell you the truth.
Right. And concentrating on something else. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Again,
but just... I don't think Jensen remembers this one.
Okay.
It's the Armenian side of me. Oh, there no. is, when a baby's umbilical cord falls off, you throw it, those days they had raised foundations, you throw it under the house, and that would be for good luck, and that your baby would be always close to home as they had, you know, grew up.
Oh, I'm so happy to be having a kid soon. This is going to be great.
This is one of many. I've taken that, Jensen. but the cat drug mine out. So and they kept putting it back under the house, and the cat kept dragging it out.
That should say something about my entire life. That's a perfect metaphor.
You're crazy, and I couldn't love you more.
Amazing.
Thank you, Mom.
I'm perfectly fine. So all of these little
we'll be the judge.
Perfectly fine. Just don't put any hat on a bed.
Thank you for talking to us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye now. All right. We know that there are a lot of people that are calling right now. We're going to do this tomorrow.
Yes.
You were taught as a kid. Your parents had a superstition.
Yeah.
And we'll do that tomorrow morning.
But who's crazier than Harold Dean?
I loved it so much.
That's great.
Hey, a couple of things real quick here on this Thursday. First of all, you know how... We've talked about this a bunch of times. You can tell a social media message, a tweet, an Instagram, a Facebook post, that's not by the person. That's by their handlers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Anytime you see something that is smart and cohesive and on point and makes sense, you go, well, that's not the crazy celebrity who wrote that. That's clearly his publicist getting in there and trying to make the straighten out a mess and make the... make them look better, right?
It depends on
right.
who the celebrity is. Some are well spoken.
Oh yeah, of course.
Most others clearly didn't write it.
Yeah, most are. But then, you know, like Kanye, for instance, you can tell a real Kanye tweet versus something that somebody made Kanye post. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's covered his tracks.
I would like to apologize. Usually starts the fake ones.
Yes, exactly. So having said that, I've known Kevin for 33 years. For 33 years, I've known Kevin.
Uh-oh.
How's this coming back on me? Who wrote your Instagram post last night?
Oh, I did.
Who? No, seriously. Who'd you hire? Did Linus write it, your assistant? Who wrote your Instagram post? It was beautiful.
What?
And it seems sincere.
It seems sincere.
And it was touching, and it was warm, and it was affectionate, and it was heartfelt. And I cried like a baby.
Oh.
Wow.
I cried like a baby. It's the nicest thing, not just you, but anybody's ever written about me. Who wrote it?
Here was my whole thing.
You hired a PR firm. I'm just look, you already get credit for the post. I just need you to give credit to the person who wrote it.
Somebody else made that comment that it was well written and how could I have done it? And I said, I just don't speak good.
But I write good.
But I can write. So then I texted it to Bean just so he would see it, and I didn't hear anything from him. So I was like, oh, no. Like, do I need to change it or take it down? Did I do something wrong?
Way to go, Bean. Good Lord.
Kevin only texts me in the middle of the goddamn night.
I mean,
he forgets the time difference.
Oh, I get it. It's just I wrote it at 11:45 or something, at midnight.
Yeah. So what time did I get it? 1:45.
Yeah.
When did you expect me to wake up, read it, respond?
No, I just didn't know. I hadn't heard, and I was like, oh, I hope I didn't.
Listen, we're getting off track here. Who wrote it, Kevin?
Who wrote it? Allie, did you read it?
I did. It was lovely, and it was long. I thought at some point he'd be like, wait, gotta go get a soda, like something. But it was lovely, Kevin.
I also want to point out, everything spelled correctly.
Every single
yes. Every word of it.
Yes.
And how long does it usually take you to write a tweet correctly?
I mean...
15 minutes and or three tries.
Right. How many times did you delete this post and re-upload?
I did not do that.
For any edits?
For maybe the first time. Oh, I edited it for a long time. I wrote it and made sure said what I wanted it to say, but then...
But not once it's post.
No.
Wow.
Dave Kevin's just retweeted it from the @KevinandBean account if you want to read it. And I'll tell you something else. And I don't want to get off onto another tangent about me leaving at the end of the year. But for folks who don't listen later in the show, only hear early in the morning, maybe they didn't hear that announcement yesterday. But it was a beautiful, wonderful day with so many kind words from so many thousands of listeners yesterday and friends and colleagues. Kevin's message meant the most to me. Partly because he hasn't had much to say about me going. You know what I mean? He's been kind of playing it close to the vest. And
I don't really feel like I had anything to say just because this was your thing and you were making it happen and I was happy and...
Beat it, kid.
Yeah.
That was Allie's message, just beat it, kid.
That was the full text?
I just wanted to tell you, it meant a ton to me. And I really appreciate it. And I've been terrible about my Instagram that I reactivated last week and have put one thing up, but I'll post it from there as well. But thank you for that. I just wanted to say.
Get a room.
Right? And, ew, I feel so dirty.
The other thing I want to say is, Bean, you trended.
Yeah, that was very weird.
You trended on Twitter.
That's while I was still alive, by the way.
Yeah, that's almost never a good thing.
Right?
Almost always that's not a good thing.
Yeah, you think they died or a Me Too situation.
Yep.
Somebody, I can't remember who, was watching Channel 5 yesterday. Gosh, I can't remember who, because they called my wife, not me. And they're like, oh, my God, I didn't see the story, but I saw Bean's face on TV. Is he okay?
Oh, no.
Because they assumed I'd either been arrested or killed.
Yeah.
If I was on TV.
Well, there's still time.
All right, real quick. This certainly is. Real quick, having said all of that, I may have to refigure everything that I told you guys yesterday about.
Oh, great.
Moving,
okay.
About, I'm still going. But now I may not move to the UK and get into radio, which is what my goal was, because this morning in the Washington Post, there's an even better job for me.
There's you've wanted to be in radio since you were two.
I know, but this is something that is so much better suited to my lifestyle.
Okay.
From the Washington Post, imagine for the rest of your life you are assigned no tasks at work. You can watch movies, read books, work on creative projects, or just sleep. In fact, the only thing you have to do is clock in and out every day. Since the position is permanent, you'll never need to worry about getting another job again. Starting in, it's not till 2026, so I may need a bridge job before this one. One lucky or extremely bored worker's everyday reality will be this. Thanks to a government-funded conceptual art project in Gothenburg, Sweden, where I've been, by the way, lovely town. The employee in question will report to Korsvagen, a train station currently under construction in the city, and will receive a salary of about $3,000 a month in U.S. dollars, plus annual wage increases, vacation time off, and a pension for retirement. So what you do is, these are the job requirements. You show up at the train station every morning and you punch the time clock. That turns on an extra bank of fluorescent lights over the platform, letting travelers and commuters know that the otherwise functionless employee is on the job. Then at the end of the day, you return and clock out, and the lights go off. In between, you can do whatever you want except work at another paying job. You don't have to stay at the station all day.
Oh.
So you can do that. You can go home, get on the internet, watch TV.
Yep.
You're basically paid to turn on the lights.
Turn on a light turn off a light every day. That's right. The employment is guaranteed for life.
What? Is it the Supreme Court of light changing? What's happening?
No specific qualifications are needed. Anyone in the world can apply. You don't even have to be a Swedish citizen to apply for this.
How does an electrician not get that job, set up timers, and never go?
Good question.
Good job, cheater.
Yeah, no kidding. So you're telling me that all they're asking you to do is flip a light switch twice a day, and you're trying to figure out a way to get out of that?
It's too much work. You got to figure out a workaround.
It doesn't seem like they're asking too much for a lifetime job with a salary and vacation and increases.
Just saying, make it easier.
It is an art project, by the way, between the Public Art Agency Sweden and the Swedish Transportation Administration. And as I said, it goes into effect. It's some sort in 2026. It's some sort of a comment on mass automation and artificial intelligence, and that one day people will be superfluous. So it's an art project, but the government is behind it and is contributing to it.
I guess are they able to see him come in or her and clock in? Is that part of the art?
I think. I don't know the answer to that. I think, to Allie's point, though, I think all that has to happen is those lights have to go on at the right time and go off at the right time.
Right.
But I feel like this is stretching the word art really a lot.
Also yeah. Job. It's stretching job.
Same.
Also. Yeah.
Same.
Look, it's impossible to define art.
Sure.
There are so many things that don't seem like art to me that seem to be very meaningful to other people.
Kevin and Bean Show.
But this this could be my gig. So maybe a few years in radio.
Okay.
And then I'm off to Sweden 2026 with the greatest job ever. What do you guys think?
Deliver Postmates till then.
It really does sound perfect for you.
It does sound like me.
Yeah.
So have fun working, suckas.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Now you tell us it's National Cereal Day, Alan.
Right?
I'm just saying.
Now, isn't it a little late for us to be able to enjoy it?
I mean, it's not late to enjoy cereal. You can enjoy cereal any time
of
day.
Yeah, we're adults. Yeah. We can do whatever we want.
Amen. Isn't that the best?
It's a great feeling.
You know how Bean says he doesn't celebrate Valentine's Day because every day is...
Right.
For me, every day is National Cereal Day.
Yeah.
Right. So I do seriously celebrate every day.
Of course.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Do you have cereal every morning before you come in?
I do not. I have it at other times of the day. Does that make it worse?
Sometimes it's lunch, sometimes it's dinner, but you always get your cereal.
Do you eat out of the box, just walking around sad?
I do not.
Okay.
No.
Dr. Drew Pinsky is, I checked it since last week, is an actual physician.
Oh.
And I think he's going to be doing a real public service for us today because many of us were terrified by what happened to Luke Perry. 52 years old, stroke, death. How can we avoid this? What's going on? What's up with strokes, Dr. Drew? We'll discuss coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ali is here.
Can you tone down the excitement?
The glee
I'm not excited.
Again.
Just a little. Just
I'm not excited.
Okay.
I'm excited for our listeners to get information that could save their lives.
Okay.
Stop
that's what I'm excited about.
When you're saying it. You're smiling so bright.
And
I can
his
hear
his eyes.
It.
Could you hear the smizing?
I can hear his teeth.
Yeah.
First, Ali's got what's happening here on a Thursday.
Jensen brought up a good point about how we're adults and we can have cereal for dinner. I remember as a kid when my mom would say, you know what's for dinner? Breakfast for dinner. And it was the biggest deal ever that we could have pancakes or French toast for dinner. And then I found out later that my mom was just hungover.
Yeah.
Just didn't want to make something.
You're a loser.
Big.
Good for her.
Come on, Jensen.
Jensen didn't
get excited.
Say anything.
I didn't say anything.
I saw you press it.
All right.
Didn't you guys used to get excited
of
for
course.
Breakfast for dinner?
Honestly, it never even happened in my household.
Really?
No, we never even did it. No.
Mom,
we were too busy sneezing to tell the truth or whatever my mom said earlier.
Was your mom a drinker?
No.
See, that's why. Uh-uh. Yeah. You have to have
you don't ask your parents. What's wrong with you people? You just get cereal.
Oh, that didn't happen in my house.
Breakfast at night. You
oh, no. You couldn't eat your own dinner in my house.
Oh.
No. You sat as a family.
I may
and
have hidden the closet.
Mom,
it's possible that I was eating out of a box.
God.
That is possible.
A lot of people think you're still in the closet.
I might have been eating in the closet, was just said by a grown man. Oh, my God. Amazing. All right, you guys. Starting off with just awful news. I woke up from a nap to a text from Jensen and then realized I had 14 missed texts. All about the same thing. A man that I love so, so very much. Alex Trebek, he revealed that he is suffering from stage 4 pancreatic cancer, but he plans to fight the illness.
Cause I get 1,000 hugs.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Is that the wrong? That's not the clip you were looking for?
Oh, no.
Wow. Short timer disease.
I'm sorry. Alex Trebek with a very serious.
Allie's mouth has been wide open since you started that.
Fatality.
Alex Trebek addressed it. I'm going to play your clip.
Hi, everyone. I have some news to share with all of you, and it's in keeping with my longtime policy of being open and transparent with our Jeopardy fan base. I also wanted to prevent you from reading or hearing some overblown or inaccurate reports regarding my health. So therefore, I wanted to be the one to pass along this information. Now, just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working, And with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told, I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me, keep the faith, and we'll win. We'll get it done. Thank you.
Very classy announcement.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it a very classy announcement? What do your fellow hoots think about
it? Once we got to it, it was.
You're from hell, Bean.
It was, look.
Were you alleviating some of the sadness?
The tension.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Uh-huh. It was such a too intense a moment I needed to break. I know the survival rates are low, as he alluded to, but when you told us earlier what he's already put his body through and ended up looking as great as he does, I feel like if anyone can beat it, Alex Trebek can beat it.
Yeah, 2 heart attacks. He had brain surgery last year from a hematoma that he had had previously. He
chased down a burglar.
Yeah, his Achilles tendon was tore when he was chasing down a burglar in a hotel. You know, no big deal.
Superhero.
Just normal things that everybody goes through. But yeah, just devastating. But he shot 2 shows yesterday. Mm-hmm. My friends that work on the show were like, yep, we're busy taping.
Right back at it.
Who he is. Wow. Absolutely. Oh, you guys, some good news. That Mad About You revival is finally happening.
Woohoo! I think if there ever would have been interest in the Mad About You revival, it was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, the Murphy Brown one was a tanker too, right?
Oh, it tanked so hard.
So it feels similar.
It was not good either.
No. Well, here's the thing. Unless you have Charter Spectrum, you won't see it because that's where it's going to be shown. They have ordered.
So most of us are lucky.
Yep. They have ordered a limited series that will have Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt back in their roles as Paul and Jamie Buckman.
By the way, they're both fine actors.
Sure. Absolutely.
Nothing wrong with either one of them.
Don't know anything about that show.
Yeah. Well, this is the second series pickup by Spectrum alongside the Bad Boys spinoff called L.A.'s Finest. So they're kind of going back in time, hoping a little nostalgia is going to pique your interest there.
Okay. So, all right.
We'll see you
Too
guys.
Much TV.
Too much.
Too much TV. Some birthdays for you. Wanda Sykes. Laura Prepon. Jenna Fisher. Rachel Weisz. Vice.
Wow. You had problems with Laura this time, not Prepon.
Something's happening. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm glad we're talking to Dr. Drew next.
Yep.
I've had to
this
pee.
This could be one of the symptoms we should be on the lookout for.
I've had to burnt pee toast. For so long, but it hurts so much to walk that I'm choosing not to go to the bathroom.
I mean, you could...
It's affecting everything.
Okay.
I pooped my pants.
Right?
Bryan Cranston and Peter Sarsgaard, and that's what's happening.
We have brand new music from the Black Keys. It's called Low High.
Guys, new Black Keys.
Yeah. How about that?
That sounded great.
I didn't know we were going to get that.
That song rocks.
This was a complete surprise to me. I had no idea either. Their first new music since 2014. No additional plans for an album or a tour yet, but that is a great start, and that is called Low High from Black Keys on K-Rock, so you'll be hearing that a lot. We were all so truly saddened by the loss of Luke Perry, who, as we talked about so often, had 2 completely different generations of fans. People who fell in love with him as Dylan McKay on Beverly Hills 90210, and then their daughters who fell in love with him all over again as Frank Andrews on the Riverdale TV show. Only 52 years old, had a stroke on a Wednesday, was dead 5 days later.
Man.
And it really terrified the hell out of all of us because he was only 52 years old. Dr. Drew Pinsky. 52, dude. That's way too young to be dying of something like a stroke. Please, fill us in. What's going on here?
It is, though. I almost had a stroke when I heard about you leaving yesterday. So there's other things that can contribute. I'm just saying.
Hey, Dr. Drew, I'm going to hang up on you for 1 second. We're going to reconnect because we have a bad phone line, okay?
Okay.
Okay, we'll talk to you in 1 second.
And that was Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Hey! As soon as he started waxing poetic about Bean, we were like, can we get him off the phone? We've had too much.
No time. Look, what I'm hoping is he'll tell me, and I'm afraid this isn't going to be the case because there's some things in medicine that just are random. I'm hoping he'll tell me that there's a lifestyle that you can lead that will make it unlikely that you could get a stroke. That's what I'm hoping I'll hear from him.
All right.
All right, Doc, you back?
Hold 1 second.
Okay.
All right, we got him. Hey, Dr. Drew.
Better?
I don't know.
We'll know soon.
Give us a second. Okay. Bean, ask your question again, please.
My question was, I guess what I'm hoping for is this is avoidable, is it?
It is avoidable. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. But again, you know, it's the kind of thing that I generally am driven crazy by, which is this sort of notion that somehow we're not biological. You've got to remember, there are libraries filled with all the different kinds of things that can happen to us as human biological agents. There's all kinds of things, and it's very incumbent upon us to see physicians regularly and to take their advice and to do careful health maintenance. For instance, stroke, one of the more common sort of risk factors for that is high blood pressure. And I can't tell you how often I tell people in their 30s and 40s they got to get on medication that every minute they wait increases their risk of not just stroke but also cardiomyopathy and heart attacks. And they will always say the same thing. Oh, no, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be fine. I'll handle it. This is foolishness, everybody. We are biological. We live a lot longer than we're designed to live. As we age in certain genetic substrates, the communication between our kidney and our heart becomes less effective than it should be, and the blood pressure gets reset at a certain level, and that tiny increase in pressure increases the shear force on our vessels that can cause vessels to clot up or break down and bleed. Now, we don't know what happened with Luke Perry. We don't know if this was a bleed or an actual stroke. A stroke is when a clot forms in an artery and all the downstream tissue dies. I have a suspicion this may have been an aneurysm and a bleed, not really a stroke, though somebody from like the TMZ world told me he had a, quote, second stroke, which usually means a spasm of the cerebral vascular architecture that causes a stroke after a bleed.
Yeah, because that would make sense, because a lot of people say on the ambulance ride he was fine. He was talking to the paramedics. Then on the ambulance ride, he went back out, and that was when he never woke up again. So I guess that would be a second stroke, yeah.
Well, no. The second stroke was like a day before he died.
Oh, geez.
The going out is more signs of a bleed, because as the bleed progresses, the pressure on the brain goes up, 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 and eventually crushes the brain.
Oh.
While a stroke is, boom, it happens now, and half your body is out. You know, the strokes, you know, the problem is that unless you know neuroanatomy, you really don't know the signs of a stroke. So essentially, a seizure, any change in movement, vision, speech, half your body becomes motor or sensory deficits of one half your body versus the other. It's all signs that something is going on and you ought to get medical attention quickly. The other thing, a true stroke, again, when a clot forms in an artery, we now have things to do with that, but you got to get in there quick, just like a heart attack. A heart attack is a clot forming in an artery to the heart muscle dies, you try to break that, get that clot opened up. Same thing with stroke, to open it up to resupply the blood to the brain.
I know there's a public service campaign that's been airing for a number of years about strokes that talks about some of those symptoms you mentioned, and they say get immediately to a doctor because they can prevent the most damage being done if they get to you in time, right?
That's right. That's right. And this is just a reminder that at 50, very weird to have a thrombotic stroke. Embolic stroke, meaning a clot migrating from somewhere else. Also, if you didn't have atrial fibrillation or something called a patent foramen ovale, where the clots can cross the heart, then it becomes carotid artery or aorta, and that's usually older people again for embolic strokes. In his age group, you really worry about bleed. So I worry that it was either an aneurysm or that he'd had untreated blood pressure problems for a while.
Drew, also because I'm super Jewish, I Googled everything about a stroke after this happened, and one of the things that I found was that you could lose vision for even a minute or two, a couple days before a stroke. And that's a pretty crazy sign. Is that true?
Well, that is called amaurosis fugax. And that is a clot, tiny clot, that actually goes to the artery to the retina. So you get sudden loss of vision in one eye. Again, older people, really weird in a young person.
Okay.
And go ahead.
Drew, I have a question actually about birth control and strokes. Because I had always heard, because I had migraines growing up, and I was put on birth control to see if we could regulate those in some way, because God knows I wasn't doing it. as long as your blood pressure was kept low, you were going to not be in that risk factor. But women that have high blood pressure, maybe they smoke and are on birth control, they're more susceptible. Is that true?
100%. And we don't really see that anymore because of the way that birth controls are dosed. But we used to see that. And the kinds of strokes we would see were the very tiny vessels in the center of the brain So people would get tongue problems and, you know, sort of balance problems and vision problems again. And these were sometimes quite devastating. Yeah. And they weren't necessarily associated with blood pressure.
Oh, wow.
But what's weird is sometimes they were associated with migraines, so that migraine thing can go both ways.
Interesting. All right, last question for me, and I'm glad Ali reminded me. I wanted to ask about smoking. Is that something that generally contributes to a lot of stroke victims?
100%. Again, the tobacco, not nicotine, get off your vape high horse for a second and your moral outrage about vaping. It is tobacco that causes damage to lining of our arteries, all our arteries, especially our delicate arteries to our heart and our brain. And that's why strokes and heart attacks are so common and almost, you know, predictable with people who smoke tobacco.
I am so glad we had you on today, Dr. Drew. This has been extraordinarily informative. Thank you for that. The Twitter is at Dr. Drew or at Dr. Drew Podcast. DrDrew.com is where you want to go to find out all the things the doc is up to, including his Monday through Friday noon to 3 show on 790 KABC. And all of his podcasts, the Dr. Drew Podcast, the one he does with Adam, the one he does with Mike called The Swole Patrol, and the Dr. Drew After Dark with Tom Segura, which is new and people are raving about. Plus, you can download the Heal app of the App Store or Google Play and get a doctor in your home right now. Thanks for the chat. Have a great week. We'll do it again next.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Hey, tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are once again this year going to be celebrating International Women's Day. And that means, Allie, you still have to come to work. We're not celebrating it to the extent that you get a day off to enjoy it. You still have to come to work.
That seems bogus.
It really does.
I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
We are going to be playing many of your favorite K-Rock artists that happen to be ladies. So if you've got a rocker or a singer that you love who's a woman, we want to play it tomorrow, and we're looking for your requests as well. You can call the Kevin and Bean Afro line anytime before tomorrow's show at 323-520-AFRO. Tell us who you are and what your request is, and we'll try to squeeze in as many requests as we can. I look forward to that show every year, by the way.
Absolutely.
Super, super fun to hear from those ladies. I don't think we play them enough. All right, time for a final look at what's happening now. Here is one of our favorite ladies. Allie, take it away.
Oh, Bean, so nice. Can you guys feel it? Captain Marvel, tonight, 7 o'clock. That's when people are seeing it.
Huh.
Okay, that's when I'm seeing it, at Arclight. But still, tonight is when it all happens, you guys. Which is why I'm bringing you this story. I don't know if you've been watching any of the interviews leading up to, of course, the premiere tonight of Captain Marvel in your movie theaters, but Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson have the greatest relationship ever.
Yeah, they're like the new Lethal Weapon.
They really are. They play off each other so well. They seem to really enjoy each other's company. And you noticed that interviewed them.
I got to interview them, and it's up at krock.com if you want to see it. But yeah, off camera when we were just, you know, shooting the
poo.
Thank you. Yeah, they just were having a great time laughing and just really enjoying it. It was really fun to see.
Yeah, it is. It's so infectious, the way they like each other so much, because they've been going around the world promoting this movie now for like a month.
Yeah.
It would seem like they would literally just be walking through the paces at this point, but they seem to still really be enjoying each other.
Absolutely. Well, I bring this up because you are going to see them in action. It's a new episode of James Corden's Carpool Karaoke, the series. The full episode can be seen on Friday on Apple TV. But they're in a car, they're singing Ariana Grande songs, and they're playing a little game with James.
Would you be honest with me if you didn't like my performance in the scene?
No. I would not be honest with you. Nope.
True. Do you actually like my Kangol hats?
Yes.
That's a lie.
What? That's not a lie. He's making up. Can we just switch? Do you like the Captain Marvel suit?
Yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
Have you ever farted while filming a scene?
All the time.
True. Did you fart while we were doing this?
Of course not. That's a lie.
I love a good lie detector.
Give them a buddy comedy. I think you're right.
Absolutely. And if you saw this news yesterday, you were terrified, as I was, when I heard that Aquaman star Jason Momoa's private jet was forced to make an emergency landing when the pilot suspected an engine fire. So they landed in Palm Springs. False alarm, thank God. They were delayed in Palm Springs for a short time, but he was back up in the air. Everything is fine, but my God, we need to protect Jason Momoa.
Couldn't Robert. He have... Couldn't he... Couldn't he have mentally asked the fish to somehow jump out of the water and save him and soften the blow of the plane or anything like that?
Never seen Aquaman, Bean?
Huh?
Is that what you're telling us? You've never really seen Aquaman?
No, I haven't. But is that what he does? He commands the fish with what to do?
All those fish in Palm Springs is what I'm saying.
Like,
what?
I mean,
they're jumping a far distance.
They really
are. Going to the desert.
They're getting some height.
Well, maybe he means like real big fish at Coachella. That would work.
Oh, that is true.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he commands the band Fish also. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
What
guys.
Is Kale? Is that fish?
play a 9-minute song. Go.
Oh, good Lord. That would make me want to crash. No offense to fish heads out there. Please don't tweet me. They're serious, you guys. They really are.
I'm not surprised. I love it.
All right.
Okay. Awesome. So Idris Elba is reportedly in final negotiations to replace Will Smith as Deadshot in the Suicide Squad sequel. What do you think about that?
I didn't see the Suicide Squad. Right. Was there a problem with Will Smith's performance in that film?
Oh, no, the whole movie just stunk. But what they're saying is it's scheduling conflicts, and he has to begin shooting the Bright sequel for Netflix in July.
No one wants that.
Suicide Squad starts in September. So it's a scheduling conflict.
And he picked up that Venus Williams, Serena Williams' dad movie also, which will be shooting around that.
Look, anytime you can get Idris Elba in your movie, get Idris Elba in your movie.
Yeah.
James Gunn is still rumored to be involved in Suicide Squad 2, right? That was a big rumor that he's going to be writing the script. Either way, I think it's going to suck.
Wow.
I don't know. It's like a Hot Topic movie for superheroes. I wasn't into it.
It didn't have a resounding woo from the fan base, but you know what? It made nearly $750 million worldwide on a $175 million budget. So I feel like that's a win for them.
I'm learning that if you just like put a car that explodes in your movie, it makes a ton worldwide.
Which brings me to my next point. Elba will next be seen playing the villain in Fast and Furious spinoff Hobbs and Shaw opposite Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Jason Statham.
Just put a car in it.
That's three dudes right there.
Hey, I like cars, man. You don't have to...
No, nothing wrong. Just, you know, makes
just
a lot of money.
Just don't be condescending.
All right, guys. That's all
I'm saying.
Kevin has...
He likes the louds.
I do.
Come on, man.
Love
you can't bring this stuff up. So, The Blast has just reported that R. Kelly made it absolutely sure that his girlfriends knew that he was in the room when they were being interviewed by Gayle King. They were told that R. Kelly would be nowhere near them during the interview, and he was standing right behind them, coughing really loud, making sure they knew he was there so they wouldn't answer any questions incorrectly. So really, just the whole thing is so disturbing.
Wow.
So disturbing. But he's back in police custody due to unpaid child support. He appeared in court yesterday and was taken into custody after failing to pay more than $161,000 in back child support.
He's kind of dope.
Nope. In other news, the singer is facing some more accusations. According to CBS 2, R. Kelly is being accused of having sex with a girl when she was 13 years old, and he gave her herpes.
Robert.
That's a bad situation right there.
It's very right.
Yeah, none of it is right.
Everything
none
is wrong with this story.
Yeah. I want
to smell it.
Oh, I don't do that at all. You like the Backstreet Boys?
Nope.
A new exhibit at the Grammy Museum in L.A., Backstreet Boys, The Experience, will be opening this spring. I will say this about the Grammy Museum.
Mm-hmm.
They do an amazing job when they do these exhibits. Even if it's a band you're not really into, they have memorabilia. They have all sorts of stuff that you would never see.
I agree. Even if you're not interested, they do great work.
Yeah, it's going to have personal memorabilia from the group, wardrobe pieces from past album covers, music videos, some artwork, photography. There's also a immersive photo and video experience for fans. That exhibit is open to the public April 10th and runs through September 2nd.
There might not be a more redeeming story in pop music than the Backstreet Boys.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
These guys should be working at car washes, basically, if you go by what boy bands happen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And instead, they were nominated for a Grammy this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were a Super Bowl commercial.
And had a number one album.
It had
and
number
a
one
residency
album.
In Vegas.
It's unbelievable.
It's cuckoo.
It's
quite
not
a comeback.
Yeah, not happened before, so.
How furious are the other members of NSYNC at Justin Timberlake right now that they're not cashing in on this.
All furious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, luckily, Joey Fatone can't afford the internet. So, actually, he can. It's Chris Kirkpatrick that wouldn't be able to afford it, right? Joey Fatone was a producer on Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Really?
Yeah, which made a ton of dough.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's the most
obscure. Don't we even know what that is?
Agreed. Obscure fact anyone has ever known.
That's coming from
Bean.
Yeah, it
really was. Really was random.
That's coming from Bean.
You're a bastion of useless knowledge.
That's high praise.
Some birthdays for you guys. Bryan Cranston, Peter Sarsgaard, Rachel Weisz, Wanda Sykes, Laurie Prepon, Jenna Fischer. And that's what's happening.
It's Prepon, by the way.
Oh my God, did I say Prepon again?
You did. I don't know where you came
what
up with Prepon.
What is happening?
You're saying Grey Prepon?
That's what I'm doing. What I love mustard.
Yep. I mean, she was only on Orange is the New Black for like six seasons, and That 70 Show for I love like 12.
Her. I love her hair. I think she has beautiful, dewy skin.
Who are we talking about?
Laura Prepon.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Very talented. All right, close thank you, Allie.
On your drive home today, there's tomorrow morning an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have animal stories. We have a brand-new internet roundup. We have comedian Kyle Dunnigan in studio. And keep it 100 because it's Friday, but more importantly, beer mug on the red carpet of Captain Marvel.
Yay!
It's magical beer mug. And